There's a Danish philosopher and theologian who wrote a story about a king who fell in love with a peasant girl. The king knew that it was next to impossible for him to marry the girl. You see, kings never married peasants. They only married royalty. This particular king, however, was so powerful that he could marry the peasant girl if he really wanted to and get away with it. But another thought occurred to him. If he married the peasant girl and remained king, there would always be something missing from their relationship. The girl would always admire the king, but she could never really love him. The gap between them would be too great. She would always know that he was royalty and that she was merely a lowly peasant. So the king considered another plan. He thought that he might actually resign his kingship and become a lowly peasant himself. Then he would offer his love to her as one lowly peasant to another. The king realized, of course, that if he did this, the situation could backfire. He could not only lose his kingship, but the girl as well. She might reject him, especially if she thought him foolish for doing what he did. So the king had a problem. What should he do? The king finally decided that he loved the peasant girl so much that he would risk everything in order to make true love possible between them. But the Danish theologian never told how the situation ended. He never told the rest of the story. He never told whether the girl accepted the king's love or rejected it. He never told whether they got married and lived happily ever after or not. And there are two reasons why he never told how the story ended. First, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is the king's love for the peasant girl. It was so great that he was really willing to renounce his royalty. It was so great that he was willing to risk everything and give up his throne for her. The second reason that the author never told how the story concluded is that the story is not yet ended. It's still going on. It's a true story whose ending has not yet been written. It's the true story of God's love for each and every one of us. You see, the king in the story is God, and the girl is each of us. There are two differences that make this true story even more profound. First, God is way more than royalty. He's divinity. And second, God's love for us is infinite. He loves us more than the king could have ever loved the peasant girl. But the rest of the story is exactly the same. God could have loved us and kept his solely divine status, but that would have made the gap between us too great. It would have been too hard for us to freely love God in return. So God decided to become one of us. In the person of Jesus Christ, he decided to become a lowly human being. He decided to declare his love for us in a way that would not overpower us. He decided to declare his love for us in a way that we could understand perfectly and respond to freely. Each one of us is in the process of writing his or her own personal ending to the story. Each one of us is in the process of deciding whether we will accept God's offer of infinite self-giving love or reject it. Each one of us is in the process of deciding whether we will live happily ever after with God or not. This is the great mystery that we celebrate today on the feast of Christ the King. We celebrate the fact that Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, understands our situation. He became one of us because he loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice whatever it would take, whatever it would take to make it possible for us to love him in return and be happy with him forever. And he did more than that. He suffered and died for us. In today's reading from John's Gospel, we see that Christ the King is nothing like the kings of this world, and his power is not the sort of power that this world understands. His kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, and his power is the power of infinite love. The kings of this world are different. The kings of this world take, while Christ the King gives his life for love of us. The kings of this world, they want to be served. Christ the King came not to be served, but instead to serve and to lay down his life for us. In the prayer that Jesus taught us, we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Jesus has shown us how to bring about that kingdom. So let us pray that nations and individuals will be humble enough to look at how Jesus used power and bring about the kingdom of God. Today we acknowledge the supremacy of the one Son of God. We bow before one Lord and confess him as the one ruler over truth and the one guide over human history. We accept Jesus alone as the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to inherit the kingdom prepared for us since the dawn of time, the instructions are absurdly simple. Respond to God's love offer. Take care of one another. Love your neighbor, because in doing so, you participate in the love of God and become a partaker in the divine nature. You know, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and we start a new liturgical year. It's the season in which we take the time to prepare to receive the baby Jesus. If Christmas is really true, then there is reason for joy. There's hope for the world and hope for the people in it. If it's not true, then there's no reason to celebrate anything. But God cared enough about the world to send his own Son into it, to redeem it and bring it back to himself. That Christ succeeded in that task is evident by our presence here today. We are here to give gratitude to God for his unspeakable gift of Christ the King. Through him, we can be forgiven. We can come to know him and have a loving, personal relationship with him, and in him become part of the kingdom. Jesus says to us this morning, as he said in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and him with me." Friends, the greatest gift that we can give Jesus this Christmas is to respond to his offer of infinite self-giving love, and thus write our own end to the story about the king and the girl. The question for us today is, how long will we wait to receive the gracious welcome that our God has waiting for us? Will we welcome the Lord Jesus Christ to be the center, the true king of our lives, our families, and our homes? During the coming week, the last week of the liturgical year, let us assess our beliefs. Are they in harmony with the teachings of Jesus? Are they based on sound Catholic doctrine? Are we participating in the spiritual kingdom of God here on earth through our baptism as we should be? Are we accepting with inner joy the truth that Jesus is Lord? Or are we looking for a false Christ and a false kingdom? As children of God, and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. As we approach the table of the Lord this morning, let us support one another, challenge one another, and be united in one Lord, one truth, one baptism, one Spirit, and one holy Catholic Church. Amen?